True, but here I see you suitors plotting your reckless work, carving away at the wealth, affronting the loyal wife of a man who won't be gone from kin and country long. I say he's right at hand. And may some power save you, spirit you home before you meet him face to face the moment he returns to native ground. Once under his own roof, he and your friends, believe you me, won't part till blood has flowed. With that, he poured out honeyed wine to the gods and drank deeply, then restored the cup to the young prince's hands. Amphinomus made his way back through the hall, heart sick with anguish, shaking his head, fraught with grave forebodings. But not even so could he escape his fate. Even then Athena had bound him fast to death at the hands of Prince Telemachus and his spear. Now back he went to the seat that he'd left empty. But now the goddess Athena, with her glinting eyes, inspired Penelope, Icarius's daughter, wary, poised, to display herself to her suitors, fan their hearts, inflame them more, and make her even more esteemed by her husband and her son than she had been before. Forcing a laugh, she called her maid. Your enemy? My spirit longs, though it never did till now, to appear before my suitors, loathe them as I do. I'd say a word to my son, too, for his own good, not to mix so much with that pernicious crowd, so glib with their friendly talk, but plotting wicked plots they'll hatch tomorrow. Well said, my child, the old woman answered. All to the point, go to the boy and warn him now, hold nothing back. But first you should bathe yourself. Give a gloss to your face. Don't go down like that, your eyes dimmed, your cheeks streaked with tears. It makes things worse, this grieving on and on. Your son's now come of age, your fondest prayer to the deathless gods to see him wear a beard. Your honour me, discreet Penelope objected, don't try to coax me, care for me as you do, to bathe myself, refresh my face with oils. Whatever glow I had died long ago. The gods of Olympus snuffed it out that day my husband sailed away in the hollow ships. But please, have Autonoe and Hippodamia come and support me in the hall. I'll never brave those men alone, I'd be too embarrassed. Now as the old nurse bustled through the house to give the women orders, call them to the queen, the bright goddess thought of one more thing. She drifted a sans slumber over Icarius's daughter, back she sank and slept. Her limbs fell limp and still, reclining there on her couch, all the while Athena, luminous goddess, lavished immortal gifts on her, to make suitors lose themselves in wonder. Divine unguent first. She cleansed her cheeks, her brow, and fine eyes with ambrosia, smooth as the oils the goddess love applies, donning on a crown of flowers whenever she joins the graces' captivating dances. She made her taller, fuller in form to all men's eyes, her skin whiter than ivory freshly carved. And now, Athena's mission accomplished, off the bright one went, as bare-armed maids came in from their own quarters, chattering all the way, and sleep released the queen. She woke, touched her cheek with a hand, and mused, "Ah, what a marvellous gentle sleep enfolding me in the midst of all my anguish. Now if only blessed Artemis sent me a death as gentle, now, this instant, no more wasting away my life, my heart broken in longing for my husband." He had every strength, rising over his countrymen head and shoulders. Then leaving her well-lit chamber, she descended, not alone. Two of her women followed close behind. That radiant woman, once she reached her suitors, drawing her glistening veil across her cheeks, paused now where a column propped the sturdy roof, with one of her loyal handmaids stationed either side. The suitors' knees went slack, their hearts dissolved in lust, all of them lifted prayers to lie beside her, share her bed. But turning toward her son, she warned, "Telemachus, your sense of balance is not what it used to be. When you were a boy, you had much better judgment. now that you've grown and reached your young prime, and any stranger, seeing how tall and handsome you are, would think you the son of some great man of wealth, now your sense of fairness seems to fail you. Consider the dreadful thing just done in our halls. How you let that stranger be so abused. Why, suppose our guests, sitting here at peace, here in our own house, were hauled and badly hurt by such cruel treatment. You'd be shamed, disgraced in all men.